Tony, how are we doing?
I'm good. Sorry, that was pretty loud. You scared me.
We are on the road. We are in your lovely Brooklyn apartment.
Thank you.
This is such a lovely home. Tony, I love, first off, Tony Ferraro, just a brilliant writer, sketch comedian, improviser, and lifelong friend.
Yes, that's the most important thing.
It is the most important thing, but obviously in this business, that's the least valuable credit I can give you. But what's so amazing is I've done this podcast now. This is like our fourth episode, I think, or maybe fifth. And for all the other ones, like I'm very like, I don't want to say nervous to have other guests, but there's definitely like, you know, when you're talking to a stranger and it's like, you know, you have that, again, not nerves, but it's like there's that level of uncomfortability where it's like you're trying to like make a good impression. Like I'm sitting a little more upright. This is so natural, and like I'm just so happy to be talking with you, man.
Look how lean back we are.
Look how lean back.
We're chill. We're
right
chill
here
guys.
On the couch, baby.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. It's like you're kind of like a performative person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like I feel like I have to go into host mode. Where honestly, it's like I feel like this is my home almost bit too, which is so lovely. And Tony, you gave me a beautiful gift, which is that. You introduced me to comedy, man. You're the reason I'm going pursuing comedy. We watched Mike Birbiglia's My Girlfriend's Boyfriend in your basement.
Yeah, I think in high school or middle school?
I feel like it was middle school.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I remember our friend Brian, like I was enthralled. And there's that beautiful moment in the show where he's talking about the car driving away. And there's that pause. And I was glued to the TV. And then our good friend Brian goes, "Get back to the fucking jokes." It's like, you're missing the point.
Yeah, you were really enthralled with like the storytelling arc of the special. And Brian, within 5 minutes, was like, "I am sleeping. I have to stop." He hated it.
Why isn't he louder? Like, just like all this like stand-up.
He was very quiet.
He is a quiet comedian. But sometimes that's part of the charm and all that good stuff. But
Matt, you complimented my apartment, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But a lot of people say the couch placement is crazy. Would you agree?
Is it? No.
Couch middle of the room against no wall?
No.
That's kind of crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. I think it definitely makes the room look a little smaller. It's funny. We have friends in Jersey City who did something similar. But I like it because it almost feels like it's two rooms almost because you have like the camera you can't see, but there's the TV back here. And then there's the workstation back here. I kind of dig it, man. And you have an outdoor space with a hammock, which must be nice with the lady in the
You're
summer.
You're yearning for an outdoor space.
Guys, our outdoor space stinks. And I'm very fortunate to have an outdoor space, but it's just like, there's like bamboo growing wild in the backyard.
Well, it's communal, right?
Yeah, it's communal is the other thing. So like we had people over once after a show that we did in Hoboken. And like our neighbor was there just like, like with this random dude at like 10 p.m. on a Saturday. And we were like coming in hot. We had like 8 people with us. We were like, "Oh, hey, we're going to be like drinking." And we did the nice thing. We were like, "Do you want to like hang out?" And he was like, "No." And they just like kind of scurried inside and like, we don't know what they were doing. But
yeah, do you think it was like a romantic thing, a friend thing?
No, I think it was a friend thing. But I will say, I love this neighbor in particular because he is a member of the Bacon of the Month Club. And that building smells so good.
Wait, stop. How many bacons can there be? I after four, what are they? Maple,
there's
Applewood?
Applewood smoked.
Yes.
Yeah, or is Applewood and smoked two different bacons?
I think they're the same. Is it broken up by cut of bacon?
I guess that would also have to be a type of bacon. If we're running the Bacon of the Month Club, I think we would have to have thick cut and thinly sliced bacon as two different cuts. And then if you add in the Applewood smoked, that's already two types of bacon. There's regular bacon.
You're at April and we're out. The club can't sustain more than 1 year.
They must be sending duplicates.
Duplicates or just crazy like Oreo level flavor bacons. You know how crazy Oreo is.
Yes, Oreo, which like that is the one company that doesn't need to do anything.
No, it's perfect. Like, it's a perfect cookie.
It's the perfect cookie. I love Oreo so much. I'm very excited. We just got Girl Scout cookies coming soon. What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but I just got a box, lemonade.
Oh, lemonade. Lemonade?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's like a shortbread cookie with like a little lemon icing.
Oh,
and I love lemon desserts.
Okay.
So it was, I recommend it. Well, lemonade.
Right into the mic.
Yeah. Thin mints are good, overrated.
Yeah.
Tagalongs, great. Samoa's great.
Okay. What's very interesting about you, Tony, is you will always, you're very adventurous with food.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm trying to be. And we had beef for years because I would not try ketchup on eggs. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Yes. And I Finally did.
Did you like it?
You know what's funny is like now that I'm an adult, I do like it on a sandwich, like a bacon, egg, and cheese with ketchup. Can't do it on a regular plate of eggs. And I remember we tried it on a road trip. We went down to Florida. And I was like, I don't like it. And you were like, now you know.
Yes. You know because you tried it. Exactly. And if you hate it, I don't care.
What is the craziest food you've ever tried? I'm like so interested now.
I think it was probably together when we had Gator in Florida.
Oh my God. That was in New Orleans, yeah. Right? Oh, wow. Was it Florida or New Orleans? We've taken many a trip together.
I think Florida. But yeah, I'm adventurous. Yeah. Like I want to try a new thing on the menu each time.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get something I know I won't like. Like I don't want to like get like cow tongue.
Yeah.
Or like
well, how would you know
brains.
If you didn't like it, if you've never tried it? Same logic.
But there are some things that are basic, universally known as good, like ketchup and eggs.
Okay.
Other things, it's like the chef is trying to flex on you.
Sure, sure.
And I don't care about that.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a restaurant where it's just trying a little too hard with those dishes?
Yes.
Like it's just, yeah. Tony, where's your favorite restaurant?
I have such a hard time remembering names of any place I go. Like, I can remember any baseball statistic from any year.
Oh, my God.
But if you're like, where's that restaurant you loved, your favorite, you said it was the best food you ever had, I'd be like, I don't know where it was, what kind, like, I just can't remember.
Do you remember the feeling from the restaurant at least? Or like,
can see the room.
Oh, that's really interesting. I feel like that's a way, though, of like, that must be just how your mind works then in terms of.
I'm visual.
You seem visual. And my girlfriend's the same way, which is that. The way she thinks, and when she closes her eyes, she tells me she sees things like randomly. Does that happen
no,
to you too?
No, I'm interested.
Oh yeah,
that sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Taylor.
No, it's okay. Totally fine. She doesn't listen. So it's fine. She's listening to this.
Why would any girlfriend listen?
She gets enough of me at home. I'm no different on this podcast than I am at home.
You ever post like a TikTok and look at the analysis and it's like, your audience, it was watched by 98.8% men. And you're like, yeah, I guess that's my audience. Yeah, okay, sure.
It's 100%. And I will two things with that. It was just on the Taylor thing, because it was very funny because we just started the podcast, so I need people to rate it and review it on Apple. Mm-hmm. So I go, Taylor, can you review it on Spotify? And she goes, yeah, sure. So she opens up her phone to rate it, give it 5 stars. Spotify gives a message. Why don't you try listening to the podcast first before you rate it? And I was like, you haven't listened? She's like, no, absolutely not. I have not given this any attention.
That's fair. You know what? Can't blame her. Very
Which,
funny.
100%. And then, what were we also talking about? We were just
restaurants.
Talking about restaurants. But before that, we were talking about ratings.
Favorite restaurant, remembering, visual.
Remember things, visualizing. Oh my God, but now I'm blanking.
That's okay. Let's move on.
Yeah,
Girl Scout cookies, whatever.
Girl Scout cookies, it'll come back to me.
No worries, all vibes. I've been saying that recently.
Yeah?
No like worries, that? No stress, all vibes.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that, Tony.
Feel free to use it.
I might. I just might, my friend.
You get a look from people like, what? And he disarms them and you're good.
You say that at work?
Well, we used to.
And then Tony, you have a show at UCB tonight. Which,
yes.
Yeah.
If you're listening, come out tonight. Yeah. It's in 1 hour. Come out tonight, right now. Stage match. Every vote matters. Stay in line.
Is that how it's a voting show?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Just becomes whoever brings the most friends, generally.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you've performed there quite a bit at UCB, right?
Yeah, not too much.
Not
but,
too much.
You know, it's a nice
theater.
I'm
trying to plug you here on the podcast, and you're just like shutting yourself down. I'm like, Tony, you're a regular at UCB? You're like, yeah, every so once in a while.
You can't
listen. Where is your favorite place you've ever performed improv?
Have you ever performed? This is really interesting for everybody. Have you guys been to
the
old Asylum Theater that used to be UCB in Chelsea?
Oh, the one, I feel like I know what you're talking about. It's on the corner. That's
yeah,
really specific,
but it's
in Manhattan.
Like, it's like a push stage where it's flat and then the rows go up from three sides.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That
the
yeah.
best.
That's really cool.
A sketch there? Ooh.
Yeah. Tony, I want to get to your low point today.
Okay.
Which is actually I remember we went away to college. So again, we grew up together, elementary school, middle school, high school, and then you went to University of Richmond for a while, then you switched over to Maryland. And then after Maryland, we all kind of got a job just by happenstance in New York. I think you were the only person that got a job in Delaware.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right.
Very good recap.
Listen, just for the people at
home.
I
didn't prep him. No cheat sheet.
That's right, baby. I do my research. And what is our research? Is just me reading old text messages if you're like, I hate it here.
You know how hard that would be to find old texts from like 5 years ago that support your argument or like... But like give you evidence as to what happened.
Do you have it set in your phone where you delete text messages after a certain time?
No, I keep everything.
Yeah, I do too. And let me tell you, some nights at 3 a.m. in the morning, you're just, do you ever scroll back and like read some of them?
No.
No? I do that sometimes.
Sorry, this is a complete derailment.
That's okay. No, no, it's fine. This is the whole podcast is derailments.
I started organizing all my pictures on my phone.
Get
by
out.
By year. Because I was okay. Like, all of this was done so haphazardly.
Yeah.
If I want to look back at like what 2017 was like, I have no way of doing that.
Wait, but can't you, doesn't it do it by time?
Yeah, you beat me to the punchline, Matt. <sorry. laughs> After I went through every year, my phone was like, do you want to look at 2016? We made it ourselves. So, yeah.
Stop, how long did that take you?
I did it over the course of 3 months. Oh, every like weekend, no. I would do like a period of time.
Stop, and nobody told you?
No, because I didn't tell anybody I was doing it.
Yeah, like how would that come up in conversation?
But I stumbled upon when Tinder was invented.
Okay.
And I had screenshots of Tinder messages of me when I was like 18 or 17.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
some of
no.
the worst, most incel-y things you could ever imagine. Because like you don't barely know how to use a phone. You barely know how to be a person at 17.
Yeah.
Now the idea that it's like you're matching with somebody who's attracted to you.
Yeah.
And it's like...
At the horniest point in your life, by the way,
yes.
When you're 17 years old, yes. And you are, okay, will you be so brave as to share with us one or more messages that you sent on Tinder?
The one that I remember, because I sent it to my girlfriend and she was laughing, it was like, hey, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And she was like, oh, that's probably not true, but thank you. And then I was like, hey, we should grab a coffee sometime. And then she, no response.
Okay.
And then I respond, by the way, do you know where I would hide a dead body if I had to? Just like the stuff you think
Stop.
Is like so funny at the time.
Oh, God.
But truly in hindsight, it was like, man, I was one or two decisions away from becoming the worst type of guy.
No, I don't. Here's the thing. One, I think it's a very, and obviously, here's the thing with dating apps, right? It's like the thing that determines whether or not it's a good or bad opening message is how it's received. Right, because I'm sure there are plenty of women out there who would love to receive that as like a first message. Maybe it's very a small population, but no, but I, you know, and like that's all to say, like she responded, which is great, but the pivot is the bad part. What got me.
Yeah.
I, because you were so open, I will be open as well.
Okay.
There was one time I was deep in the apps, man. Uh-huh. Deep in the apps, and what's funny too is like we came out, it came out right when like there wasn't any etiquette, right? So it was like, no, that wasn't a thing when they came out.
I'm nodding out of my shirt, nodding yes so big.
So we had
that's
no idea.
The thing.
Yeah, we
no
had like no idea what
right.
to do.
Yes.
So I remember, oh God, this was 3 a.m. and I sent every kind of message I could, man. Every kind. I tried funny. I tried earnest and honest. There was one message I sent, I think, at like 3 a.m. in the morning. And I was like, it was something about how I was an FBI agent and I was doing the secret mission in like New York and I needed someone for like something. This long backstory. I was like, Russia's after me and I need someone to like whatever to like sound adventurous, whatever. Tony, I'm not kidding you. It was like, it was so long. Like it was so, so long.
Did it work?
There's no way. Sent it.
Uh-huh.
Immediately deleted it.
Delete the whole app.
I unmatched her. I was
oh,
like,
smart,
yeah, yeah.
Smart,
I was
smart.
Like, I was like, I reread it to myself and I was like, this is the worst opening line I've ever seen. But yeah, no, but it's, it was hard because like I said, there was no etiquette at the time. And just like, we sound so old now.
Whatever. I'm at peace with my age.
No, totally. And I am as well. And like, here's the secret too, I think, because I've been, and we're going to get back to Delaware in just a sec, but I have been thinking, because I turned 29 next week and you just turned 29.
Yeah, so yeah, we're the same.
And what I think is nice is like, I'm very much at this point in my life, I'm also very lucky, very fortunate. You know, I have my girlfriend, my dog, you know, most of the things that you could, the things that are important I have, which I'm very lucky for. But like, this feels like the sweet spot because in your early, what nobody tells you is like, your 20s suck. And I hate my 20s. Like looking back at them, I hate the person I was, which And I, which I think is a good thing, because I actually just said this on the last episode as well. I heard a thing where it's like, if you were cringing at the person you were 5 years ago, that's a really good sign, because it means that you're like growing and doing whatever. But I didn't know who I was in my 20s, man. And I'm so comfortable with who I am now, that, you know, I like, I'm kind of at that sweet spot.
I totally agree with you.
Uh-oh, where are we going?
It's so funny to be saying this while you're still 28 years old. Yeah, man, my 20s. I just didn't know. You still?
I know. Well, like, I'm still in them. No, I know. And it's like, yeah, it's my favorite thing in the world is Steph Brown is a very funny comedian. We're going to have her on the podcast as well. We were hanging out with this comedian. She's our age, 28. And he goes, yeah, I'm 31. And she just gasps so loud. She goes, like, while we're all hanging out.
Yeah, brutal.
Dying laughing.
I truly think age doesn't matter with comedy stuff.
I mean,
for acting, it definitely does.
Sure.
But, like, if you're funny, I feel like people will respect you.
Totally. Dude, that's the other thing, too, is, like, it really is so... And that's why... Because it used to bother me when you'd be, like, you'd see celebrities and be, like, how are they so ripped? It's, like, that's their job.
Yes.
They don't work a full-time job, like, struggle to pay bills, and, like, then still find time to go to the fucking gym. Mm-hmm. If you're, like, a little overweight, that's a win.
Yeah, you're chilling.
You're chilling, man.
It's like the thing with LeBron where they say he puts, like, $1 million into his body every year. He's doing steroids.
Like, yeah.
That's what that is.
Sure.
They're not testing him because he's LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. And he
are doing Ozempic.
How do you feel about Bronny?
Good for him. Let him play with his dad. Who cares?
No, totally. It's just... I feel bad. Like, I think that's so embarrassing. That, like, he's just not doing well. And it would really bother me, and putting myself in his shoes, if it's like, everybody knows I'm only here because of my dad.
But think about how many girls he gets.
That's also true.
He has his whole life. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars. If my punishment was being the worst guy in the NBA, which he's probably not even the worst guy in the NBA.
Sure.
I'd be like, okay.
I
don't feel bad for him. I think he's having a good life.
That's a fair point. Going back to Delaware.
Oh, yes.
So you graduate college, and that was your first job out of school, right? It was Delaware. And typical 9-to-5 gig, right?
Yep.
I think.
It was just accounting.
Yeah. Okay. So now you got that job right out of school. Can you take us, like, through?
So it was just an internship that I had my sophomore, junior year, whatever, that just got parlayed into a full-time offer. So I knew I was going to be there for like a full year before I was there.
And did you do the summers in Delaware too during in between?
Yes.
Okay, so you weren't even going home during the summer
from
Maryland.
I was just so desperate to be like, well, I should have a job locked up by the time I'm a senior.
Sure.
That I ignored all the red flags with it.
Mm.
And it was such a regret because I would have, at 22, much rather have been unemployed for 6 months.
Yeah.
Taking a job that, it's not like that job paid crazy or like anything. It was just, you had something coming out of college.
Totally.
And knowing zero people in a city when you're 22 is kind of worst case scenario.
Yeah. And this is like really, I think before, we were talking about dating apps before too. Like, one thing I envy with women is they have Bumble BFF. Which is like, you can go meet people. Like, there's nothing like that for guys. Like, you can't really meet. You have to be lucky enough to meet someone at work or, like, you know.
Some guys can make friends with anybody right away.
Yeah.
Our friend Kellen can do that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's just a skill I don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brain is like, well, no one wants to talk to you because they don't know you. Like, your friends want to talk to you.
Sure.
But no, like, I could never at a bar or a show approach somebody and be like, hey, what's up? How's your day? Like, you did great up there. Like, want to get a drink and talk. I'd be like, no, they don't want to talk to me.
Sure. Which I feel that as well. So you graduate from college, you move. And so did you know during your internships, like, oh, this might be bad?
No, because as an intern, you're like doing all the intern activities.
Yeah.
And
that's true. So they have like had you with people.
You're in a group. You're like getting drinks all the time. Those internships were awesome.
Yeah.
I lived with four guys.
And that's how they get you, is they make those internships so enticing. And then you realize, oh, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
They took us to, very fortunate, but they took us to Disney.
Yeah.
And I was like, rocks. Oh my God, this is life, man. That was the shittiest job I ever had. I was on the road all the time, traveling by myself in a hotel room. Yeah. I think it was around the same time. Because, but oh my God, it was terrible. So, so you were kind of swept up in the intern program.
Well, it was just college plus. It was like you would just go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And then just like hit the gym Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was like such a bro. just like drinking and banking and doing.
Sure.
math, I guess. I don't know. I completely lost what I was going to say.
Well, so we, so that's how you kind of get swept up in this job. And again, there is that pressure for college students out there to have a job immediately out of school. Like, especially because you were a business major. I was a business major. That is the goal. That is your objective. If you don't have a job right out of school, you, you will do one of two things. You will like sulk, or you will get your master's degree, which is the don't get your master's. Just that is the biggest skip more school. And if you have your master's, that's very impressive. I'm very happy for you. But I've never seen, there is a perfect example. My last job, I was ahead of a position over this other person because they had their master's degree and I had just been working an extra year. And and like I, not that it's all about the money, but in that case, like whatever, like I was making more than her. I had a better title. Don't get your master's.
Well, here's my thought. Like if you're just worried about like job.
Yes. That's the other caveat.
Then, then like you're just get the work experience. But if your goal is push off adult life as long as possible and you have the resources to get a master's, absolutely get one. If I could have just stayed at college for two more years to just get more of a degree, and then come out and then start my life, I absolutely would have done that.
Do you miss college?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
the no hesitation your answer.
I love a walkable community.
Oh, that's it.
It's like an enclosed space where there's like, it's its own ecosystem.
Yeah.
You could walk to the food places, to the gym, to your class place, to the recreation space. And you kind of know everybody. Even at a big school, like I felt like I knew a lot of groups.
That's fair. Yeah.
And
Maryland's beautiful. I've been to that campus.
Yes, it is very nice.
It's really nice.
But then you become an adult and you're like, yeah, I guess I have to like travel 40 minutes to work, travel 40 minutes home. My friend lives an hour away. Yeah. I loved having everything you needed 5 minutes.
Did that make it harder? Was the transition from college to full-time difficult for you?
Yes, but I don't think it's hard because I was living in a city by myself.
Right, so there's that added factor as well.
Yes.
Because I remember that transition was very hard on me, too.
Like the job part or the just life part?
The complete upheaval, right? Because college is really interesting because you go, and I remember the first 2 weeks for me, I was like crying in my bed because I didn't know anybody, and I was like, how am I going to make friends here? And by the time you leave, it's like, you know so many people, you're involved in so many different things. It's hard to say goodbye to a lot of people because a lot of times you're never going to see them again, you know, just based on geography and stuff. And then my situation in particular was bad because I ended up having to travel for work all the time.
Yeah.
So it would be, you know, we worked a lot in like San Antonio, for example. So like Sundays I would be at JFK at 3 o'clock for my flight, fly in Sunday, work sometimes through Friday, fly home Friday, Saturday was home. And then back at the airport on Sunday. That was awful.
Yeah. I think we had a different experience, but the effect was the same.
Sure.
Of just being completely isolated from
everybody. Can you talk a little bit about that, like from your perspective?
Yeah. So I was like, I lived in Delaware during that two internships I had. Post that, I was like, well, I want to live in Philadelphia because I've heard from my time there that that's what a lot of people do and they make the commute in, 30-minute drive each way.
Sure.
So I was like, I'll do that so I could actually have like starting off in a city. I don't really want to live in Delaware. No shame to Delaware. I'm just from New York. I wanted to live in Philly.
That's, yes. I feel like people from Delaware would be like, we get that.
Yes, yes. So I was driving nonstop, going back and forth to my studio apartment.
Because you're in Philly.
Yes.
Okay. And so how long was the drive?
30 minutes, but I didn't think about traffic on the way home, so it turned into an hour.
Oh my God.
I would get home at like 6:37.
Yeah. And then your whole day is shot.
And I also had no, there was no structure of like friend group or like activity or anything where I could like text a group chat and be like, hey, what's the move tonight? What are you guys doing?
Like, what are we doing? Yeah.
I would just like go home and be like, I guess I got to sit in bed and, you know, and try to read, which I hate doing. And it was before TikTok or Instagram where you could really scroll.
Right. Where you
I was
could,
just like looking at Bleacher Report and like articles about the Knicks. Over and over and over again. I think I watched 160 Mets games that year.
You did?
I think I watched every one. I was like, I just got to watch this game. It's the only thing to take up time.
I was going to say with the Knicks thing, there's only so much Frank Ntilikina news. Was he playing during that time?
Yes, and the news was, he's bad. The news was, once again, over 5 from the field.
Oh my God.
Long arms, though.
long, big
Wingspan. That was when the Knicks were obsessed with Wingspan. Do you remember that Fizdale was the coach?
So I became a big Knicks fan, admittedly, through when Julius Randle was good. That year
was
the first
decent.
Year I was like, okay, this is, I'm going to follow the Knicks now. And that just happened to be the year they got good. So I don't have the pain that other Knicks fans have where it's like you just sat through garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back at some of those like Kevin Knox, who I think Deuce McBride, didn't Deuce McBride like just pass him on the threes list or something?
Oh, I don't know. Okay. But Knox, there was hope for him. And then
right,
he was
and
such
then he,
a bust.
But they traded him to the Hawks, I think, right?
Yeah, we dumped him for something.
Okay.
Maybe Cam Reddish.
Cameron. Okay.
Whatever. It doesn't
yes,
matter.
I think. No, it doesn't matter now because they're excellent. But I do want to get back to. So you're going home. It's very reminiscent of the pandemic. Did you have a, like, I guess, thinking back to like your experience of pandemic, I feel like that's what a lot of people like associate with isolation. Was it similar to that, like years later?
I loved the pandemic. Truly the best time of my life was 2020 to 2021. I was living in Brooklyn.
I don't know. I just snorted so loud. I don't get Tony.
It was the best.
A worldwide shutdown. And you're like, this is the best thing. It's a,
I can
why?
Understand it's terrible.
Of course. All that aside.
All that aside, personally, I was thriving. I was working out all the time. I was playing basketball every day at
the
park.
Oh, my God.
I was living in Williamsburg. It was beautiful.
Oh, my God. Wait, yes. This was because we used to live near each other in Williamsburg for a month.
The apartment was great. I had such like a great
you did
deal
have
a,
oh,
on
you
it.
Had a great spot on the water, man.
My roommate who left for home for 5 months.
Oh, yes.
So I was just chilling near the water. In the best, most beautiful apartment.
Oh, my God.
Playing basketball, having, like, the easiest work-from-home job.
Yeah.
It was the best.
Oh, my God. So now, okay.
And there's no obligation socially, which I was craving social interaction from Philly.
Sure.
But when it's, like, no one's doing it, I don't feel bad.
Oh, that's interesting. So in Philly, you were, like, obviously lonely, but at the same time, you had a lot of like FOMO, like fear of missing out.
Yeah, I was seeing you guys in New York being like, another night in this bar.
Sure.
Like having like your 22-year-old year in New York City. And I was like, I guess I gotta.
Were you suffering like, did you have like a lot of depression and stuff during that time?
I don't know if I would call it depression, but I sure did sleep a ton. I sure was sleeping the days away. That's what I sure was sad all the time.
One of the unofficial
nonstop.
Symptoms of depression. You're like, I don't know if it was depression, but I didn't have no energy. I didn't want to do anything. The stuff I used to enjoy, nothing.
There was one weekend where I just like slept like 16 hours Friday into Saturday.
Oh.
Woke up at like 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And then went back to bed at like 9 and then like did the same thing for Sunday. And then just like when it was like I left work on Friday.
Yeah.
And walked back into work on Monday with just a big sleep in between.
Oh, my God.
It's like I was severed.
Which, but.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Oh
no
spoilers.
Spoilers.
I'm still watching. Which it's so funny because like now that we're like a little older, obviously not that old, 28, but I'm like, it's kind of nice for one weekend just to like catch up on sleep and like do.
It was nice, but not in the context because it wasn't
sure.
like a catch up thing.
It was
like,
yeah,
it was I will
like,
go crazy because I have nothing to do.
Yeah.
So I might as well just like rest.
Oh my God. Did
but
you,
if it
did you try to do anything or was
well,
it
I
like...
started taking improv classes at Philly Improv Theater.
Okay.
Which was one block away and I kept missing classes.
No, Tony.
Because I was like, oh, I just can't do it today. It was down the street.
Tony, this is like depression. This is
No. I would go, the class I would go to, I would just murder. Sorry, Philly comedy scene. But then I would miss too because I was like too busy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Literally doing nothing.
You were like the guy in the class. Everyone's like, oh, he's so good. He doesn't have to come.
Yeah. But then I failed like level two
because oh,
I didn't
no.
show up enough.
Oh, God.
And by that point, I had already gotten a job back in New York and moved back.
Gotcha. Okay. So wait. So now you eventually do get a job back in New York. So you spent
eight
or 9 months in this period in Philly. You were not doing anything. I'm going to say you had a tad of touch of depression, maybe not full-blown clinical, but definitely like I guess suffering a little bit. So just day in and day out, all you're doing, you're just going to work, going home. Are you calling people? Are you?
I don't like to call, but I was I feel like I was texting like crazy,
which I need to address because you used yes you this is It's coming. You used to be the worst texter I have ever met, and it drove me fucking crazy.
Worst, because, how so?
What, in the sense, you, and granted, this is also coming from a person, I text constantly. I am the only one in our guy friends group chat that is just constantly sending messages to the point I need to send something, no one will answer, and then I need to text everyone individually because that is the only way they will respond. So, but I remember, I think, maybe not at this time specifically, but I used to text you stuff, like, just to, like, whatever. You'd give me, like, two-word answers, and you'd be like, all right, we talked. And I'm, like, trying to start a conversation because I haven't seen you.
Well, that's something I still, to this day, just have no patience for.
Yeah.
A text that's just to talk. I can't. See, I can't give it more than two responses because I'm like, oh, I'm doing my job. Oh, hey, what's up? Okay. Nothing much. How about you?
Which
Same. Not doing anything. What have you been watching? It's like, I have a job. Yeah, like, it's I can't do this. Please, like, type, if it's important, I'll answer. But I can't just be chit-chatting.
No, of course. And I will say, and I have a theory, but I will say you've gotten so much better with that, where it's like, and to my point as well, because I will understand, you'll send me those two messages that I'll respond, obviously, and then you won't respond, and I'll be like, okay, that is, like, our conversation. One thing I envy about you, and we'll get back to my theory in a second, but one thing I envy about you is you don't feel the need to respond to everything that the other person had just said. Whereas me, if I get, like, three texts and I haven't answered in, like, 3 hours or something, I will feel the need to reply to each individual idea that was presented in each text. Earlier today, I sent you, like, just some joke ideas, whatever. And in a beautiful way, you just said, yeah, no worries. And, like, that was it. And, like, it was fine. It was understood that, like, okay, this happened hours ago. This is over. I would feel the need to be, like, give you notes and, like, whatever. Not to say you're very generous with notes with me, but just in that context.
I know exactly what you mean. There is a thing with texting where sometimes you don't respond to somebody and then something else happens outside of phone world that changes everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I wanted to respond to that. But now I just got to be like, hey, man, like, are you okay? Like what you did Saturday was crazy. Like, did you read my script? But how are you doing?
Right. It's like, yeah, exactly.
Like, someone will get, like, broken up with or something.
Yes.
And you have, like, a text outstanding to them, and you're like, I'm just going to bump in this.
Yes. And then the other thing that gives me anxiety as well is I need to, if I haven't responded to someone, I need to, but I've, like, posted on, like, Instagram or something like that with, like, just trying to post, like, reels or something. I will feel the need to have to respond to every text message that I have outstanding before I post, because then I know those people are going to look at Instagram and be like, oh, he's on Instagram. He didn't have time to read my message, which I'm just remembering now. I still have messages I need to get back to, and I'm going to flip out.
Well, I, to me, it's honestly like social media is me time. Texting is time I'm giving to outlet. Other people.
I love that outlook just on social media. You're like, this is me. My, like, algorithm.
For real.
This is, yeah.
If you're having a rough day and you're like, I need to sit down for 10 minutes and just like zonk out.
Yeah.
Not zonk. You know
No, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's like, I'm just going to like look at TikToks for 10 minutes. That's not the same as like the mental effort of like responding to a text where someone's asking something of you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I can like divide it in my head and not feel that guilt that you're referencing.
Totally. And you and Taylor, my girlfriend, are very interesting in that way, because when TikTok was banned, she was like very upset because like that is how she comes down. What's interesting is like that does not, social media does not bring me down at all. But for a lot of people, I'm learning like it does. It's just a way to, like you said, shut your brain off and like do whatever. I think for me, the way I do that is YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Like I will put on, I've been listening to so much John Boy Media, just talking baseball, talking Yanks, whatever. And I think I do that through sports. So it's like, because that is not related to like comedy or anything I'm doing outside of like whatever. So I can just like listen to like stories and like press conferences with Aaron Boone. I'm going to watch the spring training games this year.
Don't.
Like I will.
That's what I was doing in Philly. I was watching. Don't,
you're
do
like,
it.
Matt, you might be depressed. Yeah, yeah.
No, nothing good happens in a spring training game. In the second inning, the worst reliever you've ever seen is on 83 and just get nuked on.
But then Giancarlo hits 3 home runs.
Right. But it's not worth your time.
I know, but I want to start knowing the younger guys coming up. I want to be like, not Jamai Jones because he's terrible, but Spencer Jones is a big prospect on the Yankees. So there is a degree of effort to responding to some people. And I don't mean that in a way it's like, like if you get a text message and it and you love the person and everything, there is just a, okay, I need to put effort into respond, and I just don't have that right now. And it has nothing to do with that person. It's just you want to thoughtfully respond, and I can't do that right now.
That's exactly it.
And that's, yeah. And then what happens is, like, you know, if it's been a day or so, like, you just forget, and you have other things that come up, and then, you know.
Well, I don't know if this is something you experience, but I get added to so many group chats that are like,
I'm out, baby. I'm out of all of them.
I'm so jealous.
That's the best part about being close to 30, man. No more group chats.
Every group chat, I get added to more every day. Yeah. It's like, this person's party on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Did you do partyful? That's much better.
Well, I do, but I still get these chats.
Okay, but like the chat, yeah.
And then this chat exists for 2 years. Yeah. And people use it all the time. And I'm like, this is a subsection of a group chat that already exists that we also use.
Right.
And it's cutting out one person and adding one other person in.
Right. And then that person feels bad. I could tell you, man, I used to have a college group of friends. And one day I will be public with the story about what happened and why we don't hang out, but I will not do it at this time. Very ominous. Setting it up for future or whatever.
One day you'll be public.
One day I'll be public,
yeah,
baby.
No, I understand.
But we had a group chat where it was constant. You would wake up in the morning, they used to put their Wordles in, and like it would be constant, whatever. You'd have to feel the need to make jokes, whatever. When I stopped hanging out with them, I noticed my anxiety level was so much lower. Just because I didn't have constant something like coming in on my phone from that chat.
Yes.
Like it's a real thing. I remember distinctly feeling like, oh, I don't have to respond anymore. This is like, it's so much better.
It's so much better. And when all those notifications are constantly coming in.
Oh my God.
People you want to respond to get buried. You don't see them. Or you're like, I just can't look at my phone right now. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Like, I want to focus on my work. And then you hurt your friend's feelings by not responding to them. Well, it's just constant hell. You can't win.
It's just constant hell.
There's no way to win. I could be on my phone all day and be talking to my friends and maintaining friendships that are barely hanging on. Or I could not get fired from my job.
Right.
Yeah.
My favorite thing I think you've told me is that if they're wishing you happy birthday, and the last text they sent you is happy birthday, it's over.
Well, it was just my birthday, and I noticed people doing that to me. And
oh,
I felt terrible.
Damn.
Because it's like,
let's say his name's off mic.
Yeah, it was tough because it's like, how did I miss your birthday? I love you. I haven't talked to you in a year.
No.
Yeah. You know how it is.
I know. Do you have text messages? Like when you get a text message, do you get a notification on your phone, like on your screen, on your home screen?
Yes.
I shut that off years ago. And
okay, interesting.
The reason is kind of depressing because I went through a very difficult college breakup, as you know, with my college girlfriend. We were on and off for about a year and a half, which I always say, if you're on and off, get out.
What was her full name again? Brian.
We just put like other people's full names in there. The reason I don't have text messages going to my home screen anymore is because I had a very difficult college breakup, and it got so bad to a point where I would be so in my head during the day that I would look at my phone because I was like, when is she going to text me? I would look at my phone, and just every time I looked at it, seeing that she didn't text me back or if she texted me back, got to be too much. So I just shut it off, and I never turned it back on.
Wow. Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
The constant look up, no, nothing.
And I look at my phone so much. I'm completely addicted to my phone. Like, I feel like everybody is, right? Mm-hmm. But, I just, to the point where, like, a lot of people say that I just, like, don't pay attention, which I think you might have experience with.
I don't think you don't pay attention.
Oh, okay. Taylor does, so.
Okay.
Because, I'll just be so enveloped in it. God, I love my phone.
Yeah, we all do.
It's tough, man. Did we cover everything with texting?
I think so.
I'm glad we're talking so much about your low point, man. This is really, we're really...
I keep disrailing the conversation.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I guess, like...
Let's go back to Philly.
Yeah, because I want to hear more about... So, I mean... Because a lot of people, like, move to a new city not knowing anybody and, like... See it as an opportunity. It sounds like you really shit the bed, man.
No, exactly. That's because I went in with that mindset.
Yeah.
This is a fresh start.
Yeah.
I literally just graduated. the idea that I couldn't do it was hard.
Oh, see, that's interesting.
So many people move to a new city and make it work and then live there forever and love it.
Yeah.
I immediately was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I have no one. I don't know how to meet people. After a couple of months, I just started coming back to New York every weekend.
I remember. Yes.
Yeah. I did not know leased cars had a mile limit.
Oh, no.
I drove way over the limit of my leased car.
Oh, no.
And they charged like 70 cents per mile or
no,
something.
No, get out.
Yeah. It was, I told my dad when we were about to return it, I was like, yeah, I've been driving just back and forth. He's like, have been driving a lot, and it was like 12,000 miles. It was at 30,000.
Oh no! How much did they charge you?
I don't know. I think we traded it in and got another lease.
Okay.
And they cut the.
Like they cut whatever the miles. Okay, nice.
Because we were getting another car with them.
But it was a Mazda, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the when I heard that, my face dropped. It was so because I had no money. I still don't have any money.
Do you remember, this is off topic again, shocker, but the conversation mobile?
Yes.
And that was...
It was a car with no radio and no way to play any sound at all. And the car was leaking coolant out of the bottom. So you had to make conversation.
And this
was... The conversation mobile.
This was like...
A 2002 Volkswagen Passat.
Because like we were so pumped. You were like, guys, I have a car. It was like senior year. All right, we're going to drive with the windows down.
The lamest car. Music. You couldn't roll down the windows.
And it was just like...
The AC wouldn't work. It was so hot.
Oh, my God.
It was the worst car I've ever seen.
And we would get in like, all right, what are we talking about?
Chipotle again?
It's just silent in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That was great. The conversation mobile, man.
It was the ugliest color of green, too.
It was. No, I liked it. I mean, it was a car, man. I liked it.
Yeah.
And it's, you have the memory of it.
I do like the memory of it.
It's better. We had a friend who named their car after another friend's sister, and that's not cool.
It's pretty funny.
No, it's funny. No, it's really funny. Maybe I should cut that, too. Who knows?
Well, I just had a memory flash back to me. Like, when talking with my mom a couple weeks ago. The first day I had my license, I thought it would be funny to text her that I crashed.
Oh, no.
And then we went to our friend Connor's house.
Yeah.
And I got distracted by the friend activities.
Oh.
And I never looked at my phone again for another hour.
Oh, no.
So she sent me 40 texts and 100 missed calls. She's like, you crashed the car. Oh, my God. Are you okay?
No.
From her perspective, her son crashed, did not stop responding.
Tony, that's every parent's worst nightmare.
No, it's truly
sick. And your mother.
I've
met your mother. She's the sweetest woman. Oh, my God.
It's one of the worst things I've ever done to somebody. For her to be so scared about me driving.
Was she mad when you left?
Furious. So, so mad. And I brought it up to her, and she's like, I don't remember that.
She doesn't? Oh, she must have blocked it out of her mind as a parent.
Could you imagine screaming at somebody for hours and then not remembering it?
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm like, what's in your
wow.
past? This is nothing to you.
That is really, and I think about that a lot, where it's, there's so many instances where you just, things are so vivid in your memory, and then just the other people involved are just like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was nothing to me.
Like, this is going to sound stupid. In hindsight, this probably wasn't true, but I hooked up with this girl once who told me that I made her, we'll call it, 8 times. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is 23.
That's a lie.
23-year-old me was like, oh, yeah, baby. I'm the man.
Uh-huh.
And we had a party that we went to in upstate New York. And I told this to two of our girlfriends, and they were dying laughing. They were going around to other girls at the party being like, wait, listen, Matt, say that again. And then all the other girls would laugh at me. Years later, I like brought it up to them. They're like, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Something that was so formative to you.
And then I was like,
nothing.
Oh, I was like, oh my God, this is humiliating. Like, I'm that idiot that's like believing women. Oh no.
Maybe cut that. Well, maybe the worst way I've heard anyone phrase anything. That's terrible.
I'm that idiot. I clicked.
You gotta
this.
Let me edit this episode for you.
Can you imagine believing women? Like, it's like. Oh my goodness. We had some great times, Tony. We did growing up. We're not. This isn't the end of the podcast.
Well, that's what I loved about that pandemic era. It's our friend group was all back together drinking, like true degenerates every single weekend.
Yeah,
and then once, I don't know if this was your experience, but I feel like once things opened back up, we were all like, "Hey, we're really sick of each other. Let's kind of go our separate ways a bit."
I don't know if it was sick of each other. I'm trying to think like. It seemed very, the only time that I think about the pandemic being over is I think about it was when Biden was elected.
Oh, okay.
And I remember like that was when I was like, okay, I think, right? Because that was what, 2022? No. No, that was, when was Biden elected?
That was 2020.
2024. No.
No, yeah, not 2024.
Wait a minute.
That just happened.
Oh, yeah, I know. Hold on. I'm like losing my mind here. 2024. Biden was elected in 2020?
Yeah, well, 2019 probably.
Oh, 2019.
And then starts 2020? No.
No, because Trump was president in 2020.
I don't know how this works. It must have been end of 2020 because Trump is starting 2025, so you minus four from that. So it's November 2020.
Oh, my God.
That's
when
he got elected.
Was Trump not president during the pandemic?
He was during the beginning. That's why you remember it.
But the pandemic was 2020.
Yes, but it...
This is crazy. I can't believe I don't remember this.
It started in, like, technically November, December, which is why it's COVID-19.
Right.
Then you get Trump, all that.
Yeah.
November, when Biden took over. Crazy that you think that's when the pandemic ended, because I feel like it went on for another year.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Why do I think
that? Yes. Because it was such a celebratory day.
Right. I remember that. But I remember... Oh, so it wasn't that... Okay. Because this is so embarrassing. I'm just putting it out there now. I do not... This is so humiliating, but we're going to leave it all in. So I remember being on the train and texting you because I was like, and I had a feeling that it would come back. I didn't know it would be like 2024, but I was like, this doesn't seem over. And I remember texting you specifically. You were like, just take the win. Like, just it's whatever, at least for now. And you know what it was? It was that everybody was outside celebrating. That it felt like it wasn't the pandemic.
Yes.
But okay, so that's why I have that
first
memory
two guys doing
with that.
A podcast to be Democrats.
There was a woman who, Catherine Duffy, who's a very funny comedian storyteller, reposted and she was like, posting a straight white man's podcast? How out of character. And that meant so much to have a woman's support for a podcast.
Yes, it's
nice. That really meant a lot. Shout out to her. Solo show's very funny. We were talking about how we were drinking like it was the end of the world.
Yeah, all the time.
During the pandemic. And I actually have you gave me some wonderful notes on the solo show I'm working on. And I have that story where the short version is I take an edible and I don't realize that it is, I think it was 100 milligrams or something crazy.
I didn't know that until I heard you say it on stage.
Oh, you did? You heard that story for the first time?
Well, I was there,
but I
didn't know it was that strong.
Oh, my God.
Because our reactions to it happening was like, Matt, come on. But if I knew it was that much, I would have been helping you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you guys are just like, Matt, get it together.
We were like, Matt, just sleep it off and come back. Like, we had no idea that
Tony,
it was that bad.
Tony, I was freaking out. And I remember, I've only freaked out twice that much while high. One was in college, I could feel my heartbeat, and it made me realize that it made me think about my uncle who had a heart attack and passed away. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die one day. That was the first time. Pivotal moment in my life. It's when I realized I'm going to die one day. And the other was this moment, and I remember I was like, because we were very lucky, we went to our friends like Lake House, we made sure we were all like tested positive, whatever I have to say to make it okay for me to continue the story.
Ooh.
Oh boy, it's such a big deal in 2025. I remember like I could feel my vision shrinking, like I felt like there was no atmosphere and I was on the ground and like space was like right above me, and I was freaking out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I remember you freaking out.
Oh my God. That's so funny. And then what's even better, we mentioned our friend Kellen is, the whole thing was like, he was like on the canoe and you know, our friend Kellen, he's having so much fun and I knew he was going to like take forever. So I was like, okay, he's going on the canoe. I'll just take one whole one and then I'll be fine. And then he got off the canoe and was like, all right, you ready? And I was like, yeah, I took one already. He's like, you took a whole edible? And he just like patted me on the shoulder. He's like, I'll see you tomorrow. And then he walked away.
Yeah. The thing about Kellen, and this is one of his best qualities.
Yeah.
Is he'll be like, yes, we're going to do a shot. Hang on, I got to be life of the party for an hour.
Yes.
And then we'll get to it.
He is one of those people, and he's our hot friend, great guy, you know, just everything you could love in a person. And he could start a business where he and this other guy we're friends with could just go around to parties. You would pay them to come to the party, and they will be the life of the party.
Yeah, just good vibes.
Just good vibes.
Yes.
And
he's like a social engine.
It's
like
crazy.
He can really just like start something out of nothing. It's really impressive.
It really is very impressive. One thing we had, one of our friends' significant others said about our friend group, which I really love, is that we are all so different, and we all like get along so well. Like, because he's kind of that guy, and, you know, we have this other friend who's so super nice, and we have... You know, I don't want to say that we're, I mean, I think we're probably a little more on the introverted side, but it all kind of works. Tony, I just want to finish on, we always try to finish on this.
Okay.
Which is that someone who is in your position, that is maybe just graduated from school or is in a new city exploring where they don't know anybody, what is the advice that you would give them?
My initial thought doesn't answer your question at all, but I'll
perfect.
Say, don't do something just because you feel like you have to do it. Like, I took that job because I felt like I had to do it, when every part of me was saying, you don't want to live there. You don't want to be an accountant. You don't want to, like, isolate yourself from your friends and family.
Sure.
But I just felt the pressure of, like, well, you have to. This is the next step. So yeah. I would say take the time to make the choice that's right and just skip the situation altogether.
Do you think, because I think the only thing that comes to mind is, like, a college student is, like, because I was in a similar boat, too. I had my internship, and there was a part of me I remember I was, like, I hope I don't get the full-time offer just so I don't have to do this. Is there a way, I guess, like, to wake up to that? Because, like, I feel like that's great advice, and I agree 100%, but maybe to someone who's, like, hears it, and maybe it's not, like, fully resonating. Like, I feel like, to your point, maybe I'm answering this for you, but just, like, really listen to yourself, I think, is, like, a big part.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I knew it was stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it. Every part of my body was like, don't do this. But my brain was saying, this is what people do.
Right.
People do this all the time.
Yeah. That's the big one.
If your whole body is telling you not to do something and that it's going to be a bad decision.
Right.
You're not going to put your best foot forward while you're doing it.
And I'm sure, did you have parental pressure in your case as well?
They weren't like, take this job over here. But my parents certainly wanted me to leave college with a job.
Yeah. They Which is like, been, that's what every parent wants.
And, they wouldn't have been upset, but they would have been like, why did you turn that down to be unemployed?
Right.
Yes.
Right. And I think just to that point as well, I think what I would say to someone who's in that situation, because I had parental pressure, I've been in a similar boat to you. What I learned later in life is like, be in a position where you can support yourself, obviously, and take pride in that one. That'll help you get through the day. But the other thing is too, it's like, you're the one that has to live with your life at the end of the day. It's not on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. It's okay to take yourself out of that, which I learned later, because I would never be doing all this if I still thought that way.
Right.
But yeah.
An addendum on that.
Yeah.
Pull the plug. If you're in something you hate
and
you have the ability to get out of it.
Yes.
And the only reason you're staying is because you think that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Take the short-term loss. I'm telling you, you will be happier.
Yeah.
Than forcing yourself to do something because you think that's what you should be doing.
Exactly. And funny enough, we're in a similar boat because we can cut this. Do you want, is it okay if we talk about
leaving your job? Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
So, like, you just left your job.
Yes.
I left my full-time job this past November that was causing me a ton of stress, or I think it was October, whatever it is, but it was causing me a ton of stress. And, you know, do I have the security I did with that job? No. Am I happier at least that I'm at least able to come home at the end of the day and be like, I'm pursuing the things I want to be able to pursue while I'm supporting myself? Absolutely. And what'll happen is, like, if you don't know a way to figure it out, you'll be forced to figure it out, which will make you figure it out.
Yes, exactly.
So
it often feels like you're on like a racetrack.
Yeah.
With everyone that you're friends with.
Yeah.
And as you're going, no one's telling you all the bad stuff that's happening to them.
Yeah.
You feel the bad stuff happening to you.
Sure.
You go, well, they're all going forward at the same pace.
Yep.
I can't be the one who takes myself out and resets.
Yeah.
Just reset.
No, reset.
Just take a reset if you can.
And I love that analogy too, because it might feel like it's a circular racetrack and you're all running the same race. It's different races, baby.
Well, yeah. I mean, like learning about like generational wealth and all that stuff that I've learned about in the last few years.
Yeah, which is
it's not the same at all. It's actually really different, and we should never be comparing ourselves.
Oh my God. Never, because you have no idea what some of the advantages other people have, and compare and despair.
Wow.
Yeah. That's one. Gary Goldman tweeted that or posted about it.
Compare and despair.
Compare and despair. And I forget who originally said that, but that's a good one. Tony, tell the people where they can find you.
You can follow me on Instagram at AnthonyFerraro7. You can follow me on TikTok at the same handle.
Love it.
That's it.
That's it. Well, your sketch group, Little Boy Evil, right?
Yes. You can find us, Little Boy Evil, on Instagram.
They have amazing sketches. Love them. Great group of guys. Great group of comedians. Tony, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, here's to hoping we left you a little higher. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
All right.